Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante along with Lyndon Tangwall. Jeff Byers is off today, so Landon was kind enough to fill in for the entire show. Landon, you ready to go for four full quarters?
Jim, let's do it.
All right. Well, we're going to talk about Penn State's surprisingly close 33-24 win over Indiana. And Landon, you know, let's start at the beginning. And the beginning of this game is really the loss to Ohio State a week ago. And over the last couple of years, Penn State traditionally has had that hangover game following that first loss. So what is the prep like on a week like this after such an emotional loss?
Yeah, there's absolutely a little bit of pressure coming off of that game, even though you're facing a team like Indiana has two wins. You're coming off, especially when your offense struggled that much the previous week. You are a little nervous. You want to get in that game and get it started early, start out with a good couple drives, maybe hopefully a touchdown early on and get it going. Obviously, we weren't able to do that. And then when you get in that scenario and you're already kind of feeling, you still have that feel, that carryover from the week before that wasn't a great game, and you feel it start to kind of creep in to these games that you're supposed to take care of early, it can start to get a little dangerous. And as you can see, a couple things break down and then it doesn't go your way. That game can really start to – the tides can start to turn, and that's what we saw with, you know, especially with a turnover early. Thankfully, you know, we had able to create a couple turnovers, you know, with our defense and special teams kind of start to turn the tide. But, the way that everybody in the stadium could kind of feel it going, but right before they, muffed that punt and we got it back, you know, they were up seven getting the ball back. It started to be like, okay, you know, we don't – you know, what's going on here? We need to get some points. We need to start to control this game. And like we were talking about earlier, there's games where, you know, you're supposed to win and it's close, but you have control the whole time. But it wasn't really like that. There was a lot of moments where we weren't really sure what was going to happen there.
Yes, an awful lot of tension. And you mentioned it in the stadium. You could feel it during this game build up that, this may not go the way everybody wants it to. Let's just sticking in that game prep for a moment, though. I was surprised. James Franklin actually at some point talked about not letting Ohio State beat you twice, you know, and that's essentially what happened a few years ago. So what can the coaches do? I know James Franklin always has the 1-0 mantra, you know, celebrate a win that day or lament the loss. You flush it out, then it's all about Indiana. But it's obviously not that easy, is it?
No, it's not at all. And you try your best as a staff, as as players, as leaders around the team. If you see that early in the week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, you see some guys, you know, lackadaisical, maybe not on 100%, just kind of still feeling, like you said, that loss from the previous week, guys feeling down. So you try to do your best to pick everybody up, make sure, you know, forget about that, put that in the past. So you really are, you're just trying to look forward. But sometimes, you know, as we saw, it just kind of creeps into that next game. And I do think there was a little bit of pressure there on the offense. They were definitely feeling it, that they needed to come out and perform. And like I said, I mean, you like to come in there with the game plan. Thankfully, you know, we talked about last week, Nick and Katron only getting 15 around their carries combined, and now we're up to 32 between the two. So clearly there was an emphasis to come in the game and get the run game involved and really spread the ball around, get the tight ends involved, as we saw. So I think we definitely came in with a better game plan. It was just unfortunate that there was just so much momentum going Indiana's way, and that's hard as an offense at home. You know, you're expecting to come in and kind of just be able to run the ball, maybe get up early and just coast. Well, it wasn't that way. You know, the turnovers and the defense, you know, had a couple big plays that they let up, and miscommunications that can really affect the team, especially in a game like this after Ohio State.
Well, we'll get to those big plays that happened against the defense. Let's talk about those starts. And again, it was one of those slow starts. You talked about, hey, this is the kind of game, especially after a loss last week on the road. You're back home. It's a bit of a sleepy crowd. The student section slow to fill up. everyone, you know, the fan base also still recovering from the week ago. And they really, really needed something to cheer about early and get some momentum going. But once more, it was the offense struggling out of the gate. Any sense of why you think that is?
Yeah, you know, like I said, it's hard coming off one of those games where it feels like nothing was going right. And then you get it home. You have, you know, you go, you punt early. You punt a couple times early, three or four punts in a row. You got your home crowd booing the offense. And I'll tell you, that's not a good feeling at all. When you hear that, it's like, oh man, like what can we do to turn this around? What can we do to fix this? It's kind of a helpless feeling, because it's like you come in with a game plan, especially after last week, and you think, okay, this game plan is going to work. We're confident in it. We, you know, all week we study preparation, and then you come out and it just kind of flops, especially against a team that you're supposed to come out and just kind of be impressive. Like, you know, like we talked about last week, hopefully come out and just put points up on the board, get the offense going. And, you know, that doesn't happen. And you got the stadium booing you and everybody, it's just kind of against you. It's a helpless feeling, and it's tough, especially for Drew, to get going. So, you know, throwing a couple of touchdowns early, thankfully, definitely helped him get back on track there, as we saw. But it's hard. It's hard that initial start. You start out slow as offense on a, you know, on early in a game that you're supposed to be winning. It can turn over, and it can snowball into a game that is not going your way. And you start to panic, and everybody's kind of looking around like, what the hell are we doing?
Yeah. And the start, real quick, the first three drives were six plays and a punt, three and out. That's a really tough start. Now, towards the point you mentioned, Nick Singleton actually had seven touches in, I think, the first nine plays or so, whether it was him running the ball or the check down, pass went to him. So it did seem like there was an emphasis in getting him the ball. But I do want to ask you about how this works at the start of the game. We always hear about the first X number of plays being scripted. Is that what happens at the start of the game?
Absolutely. You come in with about 10 to 15 plays scripted that you're the most confident in. And like I said, that's why when you come in, you're kind of expecting to get going, especially against these teams that are a little bit inferior to you, because you have those plays that you've scripted and you're so confident. And that's why they're, you know, your first, whatever, four, five, 10 plays that you come out in. And when those don't work, it's kind of like, okay, those were our go-to plays. Those were the plays that we came in that we're confident with. So it does kind of shoots down offense a little bit. It kills a little bit of the mojo of the swag, especially just not being able to execute those plays that you've practiced all week, that you're really confident in. But I mean, you just got to keep coming back to them, as we saw. And, you know, it started to work out a little bit more in the second half and really got that run game going. And, you know, look, one thing you look at is you got two amazing backs. You talk about getting Nick involved early, and then you come back and it seemed like there was a time there where Katron was getting a heavy load and he just doesn't go down. And he was just churning his legs. And when you start, and you start to get on track, and a lot of second and shorts, and we start to see that, and then the offense started to get moving a little bit. So those are it's really important to get those type of guys involved early on. And it's nice that we have two running backs that we can just interchange in and out, and they're, you know, two completely different guys.
And Katron did have obviously a positive influence on the game. He finished with 81 yards on 18 carries. A little over 4 yards a carry, if my math is correct there. Singleton, 15 carries, 50 yards, a little bit over 3 yards a carry. But the obvious point is Katron Allen's long run was 12 yards. And for Nick Singleton, his long run was only 7 yards. Now, with Katron, you said the way he runs, this does not seem like an unusual game for him, you know, and ending up with a long of 12 yards. But for Nick Singleton to have a long run of 7 yards, and it's not like a one-off occurrence. You say, okay, well, this one game, he just happened to not break any. But this is the story of the whole season, Landon. Fans are like, why? What's going on? I'm sure the locker room is the same way. The players and the coaches, What's your take on it?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes those big runs just don't break. And I know, you know, we're pretty deep into the season here, and everybody wants to see one of those patented Nick Singleton 70-yard touchdown runs. I completely get it. Trust me, I love seeing them too. It's the best thing to look up as an offensive lineman and see your guy running down the sideline. But I think a big part of it, honestly, is a lot of these boxes are really heavy. And if you look at that one, you know, right at the end there, for example, I mean, we had, you know, man coverage. It was tight, no help over the top because the box was stacked. They're expecting us to run the rock, and everything's been kind of underneath short this year. So there's just a lot of people down, and he's just not able to just break and just outrun those guys because everybody's just down in the box loaded up. So it's, you know, it's a little bit more difficult, but I totally understand. It's one of those things that it's not always going to happen. Hopefully it's coming soon, and I'm sure it's very frustrating for him. Trust me, there's no one that wants those big runs more than Nick himself. I mean, he loves those things taking off, and I hope to see him really start to get going here shortly. But you know, you keep chugging away, and you keep having those 9-10 yard, you know, runs. Those big runs will start to come, but you know, start to see a couple deep throws down the field. So hopefully that help opens up the run game, play action game, and can get guys a little bit more space.
Well, we do have to hit that, you know, you know, throwing the ball deep. And it does seem that finally there was this concession that, you know what, maybe we do have to go deep. Obviously, there was the end of game. We'll talk about that. We'll get there. But even earlier in the game, there were a couple shots deep. That explain how that makes a difference for the rest of the offense, too.
Yeah, 100%. We had an early shot to Dante Cephas. That was there. It was a good opportunity. And I saw Corey Geiger. He was out there defending himself all over Twitter. He said, see, I told you guys. But you know, those plays really do help stretch a defense and start to worry them a little bit. Like I said, and clearly Indiana, it didn't worry them too much because, like we said, we'll get to it later. But they still played with not too much help over the top and a lot of guys pressed up, but it really just helps just kind of worry that defense a little bit, make them back off a bit, give you a little bit more chance to run the ball, get the guys going, just stretch the field a little bit. It just kind of just helps the offense get going and gives that defense that little worry. What if they do want to go deep? What if this is a play action fake, makes the linebackers a little bit more hesitant. So it really is important to have those deep shots to kind of open up offense.
Yes, I think even James Franklin would agree on that, and it just hasn't happened, and hopefully that late play to Lambert Smith, that's a precursor to what's going to happen later in the season. All right, Landon, that is it for quarter number one. We'll pick up this conversation right after this break.
Hey guys, this is Andrew from 409 Tailgate Club, here to talk to you about our new coffee barbecue dry rub set. Over the years, we've developed some great tailgate sauces and barbecue dry rubs, but our new coffee rubs are totally unique spice blends, low in sodium, and feature Happy Valley's finest coffee, W.C. Clark's, roasted right in the cheese shop in downtown State College. So head on over to 409tailgateclub.com, grab yourself some coffee rubs, and remember, always tailgate with honor. We are.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number two. He's Landon. I'm Jim. We're talking Penn State, Indiana. And you know, Landon, you're the offensive lineman, but we're going to go to the other side of the ball and talk a little bit of defense. A little bit scary this game. Early on, Indiana, as a lot of people like to point out, they had two big completions, at which point in that first half of the Penn State-Indiana game, they had twice as many plays of over 40 yards than Penn State has had all season. That's the scary stat coming out of it. But let's talk about those two plays. One of them, it looked like the defensive back just plain got beat. The second one was it looked like a blitz coming from the cornerback and nobody rotated, picked up the receiver. Could you go through both the plays? Let's start with the first one I think it was Zakee Wheatley.
It was, yeah. He came up and he faked, and the Indiana wide receivers, I think, were actually wrong because they were both in the same spot at the same time. And if that happens, if you see that as a fan, if you see two wide receivers in the same area, that means one of them messed up. But they still made it work out. And the wide receiver that caught the ball, he went to fake a block to Zakee. So Zakee he snapped his eyes into the backfield, and then just boom, went right past him, and then hit him right in stride. So that's just kind of playing the game. Safety's eyes got caught in the backfield, and he had to pay for that one. And then coming back on the other one, so what Manny Diaz was bringing there was a chop blitz, which is a cornerback blitz. And there was clearly a miscommunication there between the safety, I believe it was KJ, and Johnny. They both came, and I'm pretty – one of them was supposed to be off. I'm assuming it was KJ because it looked like it was supposed to be a cornerback blitz, which we brought later, and it did get home. But so fix that, clean that one up on the sidelines at halftime for sure. But that just a miscommunication on the defense, and those type of things hurt, especially in games like this where your offense isn't really able to especially early on in the game, generate a whole ton of points. Those plays, especially with how long and 70, 50 yard, I mean, those are killers. You can't have that. I mean, a 90-yard touchdown against a Manny Diaz defense. I mean, anybody was watching on TV caught a couple glimpses of Manny Diaz, and he did not look happy. And trust me, he was not.
Well, I wanted to ask you about that. How is that? I know as a fan, when you make mistakes like that and it costs you 7 points and the two of them, of course, 14 points, it's disconcerting, obviously, to fans, more so to players, and even more so to the coaching staff. But I was going to ask you, how does Manny Diaz, and it doesn't happen very often, so how is he reacting on the sideline? Is there hell to pay by some of these players?
Well, I'll tell you, I mean, we got meetings in about 2 hours here, and they're not exactly too excited or too thrilled for those meetings, I'll tell you that. But it is he expects a lot out of his guys. I mean, since he's gotten here, and even before, man, I mean, Coach Pry, all the defense here has a standard that they're held to, and those type of plays is just nonsense for our defense. I mean, you just don't expect it, and and they came back and made plays like you expect them to do, and deny at the end, those type of things. Like, they will, but those plays are definitely not Penn State defense, and he's going to let them know today. Trust and believe that.
Well, let me ask you about the second one, which I find more interesting than, the one where Wheatley, he got beat, like I said, Isaac. It's one-on-one. I mean, that could happen at any point. You anticipate wrong. On the second one where it was Johnny Dixon coming and the safety – and oops, nobody was back. Is this where the play is called? It's definitely the cornerback is coming, so the safety is not. Or are they reacting to either the formation of the offense, and it's dependent on that, and one read that wrong? So I guess I'm asking, was it somebody didn't get the play correctly to start, or did they not read what the offense was doing correctly?
On defense, especially with a blitz, you're gonna come into that play and call that blitz. And the only way you're checking out, or if that blitz is changing, is if the offense checks or the whole defense checks. There's no analyzing as the cornerback and safety and deciding who goes. I'm almost certain that was meant to be a chop blitz, which is a corner blitz from Johnny Dixon. Like I said, which we saw later on too. But that's just a miscommunication. The safety thought it was a different play, a play where he was supposed to blitz as well. It didn't really look like he was blitzing. It was more of a contain because he didn't just shoot a gap. So there was just a clear miscommunication just between those two DBs there. And you saw Jalen Reed try to cheat over, but it was a little bit too late. He tried to recognize it. Like you said, those plays are killer though. But best believe those are going to be fixed up, and you won't see that mistake again this season.
And I'm sure the players, not wanting to face Sunday again to have to explain themselves. And, I'm going to ask you a little bit later, I'm going to get to the second half where Indiana had their two long drives, which, to be honest with you, to me is more concerning than these two plays, which, I'll call them blunders. I don't expect to see them again. But you mentioned about the cornerbacks, or the blitzing getting to him. We got to talk about our buddy Daquan. He had the one blitz where he shot out of a cannon, took care of the quarterback, and I know it got called back, Landon, but oh my goodness, you put the ball in Daquan Hardy's hands on a punt return, excitement follows.
Absolutely. I mean, I think a lot of Penn State fans are saying, hey, Day-Day's been here for, what, 4 or 5 years? Why hasn't he been back there? You know what I'm saying? I mean, he's explosive, though. No, really, he's impressive. And like you said, on that blitz where he came and got the sack, you saw there, he leveled the quarterback, and he didn't even see him coming. And that's one thing on the quarterback. He's got to change that to protection, or he's got to know, especially with his blind side, that someone's coming hot right off of him, you know. And Penn State does a great job of that 7-up defense, really confusing the offensive line, confusing the quarterback, giving him different looks. And part of that is even baiting the quarterback into some looks. Maybe ID or move the protection over to the right, and now you bring it from the left side. And it's really hard. It's difficult. I mean, we go against it all the time in practice, and it's not an easy defense to communicate against or just operate against in general.
I imagine for a defensive player, getting that sack, getting that open shot at the quarterback, it's comparable to an offensive player getting a touchdown. So
no doubt.
You could just see it in the body language. But with that said, and as exciting as that is on defense, watching him on the punt return, and again, I understand it was called back, but the excitement within the stadium, and you could see it start to form right at from the time he's catching the punt, and he's just so quick, some of those moves. And you're right, fans, and I've heard it from fans already, where has that been? He's been around. Why haven't we seen more of it? But that's as exciting a player as I think we've seen around here in a while.
Oh, no doubt. And those plays, I mean, like you said, the fans went crazy because those special teams plays, and Coach Franklin does a great job of emphasizing special teams, more so than any other coach I've been around or even heard of. And shout out, you know, Stacey Collins, the special teams coach. He does a fantastic job. And that's just that week, having a great plan, going in with a great return plan, and having a guy like Day-Day back there that just has God-given talent, and he can take it to the house at any time.
Definitely. While we're staying on the defensive side, or getting back to it, I should say, I am going to get in the next segment to those long drives from Indiana in the second half. But this was also a game with Chop Robinson out for the whole game. Defensive end, it's a strength of Penn State. There's still a couple guys that are denied. Dennis Sutton, Adisa Isaac, who I think is often underrated and forgotten about. But missing Chop Robinson, what kind of effect does that have on the defense?
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the best players on the defense, and that definitely hurts. And we saw that, I think, not only missing Chop, but Indiana also came in with a great game plan offensively. You know, they had a lot of rollouts designed for their quarterback. They knew that the defensive line of Penn State and that 7-up, is they got way better athletes. Their guys are more talented. So they came in with a game plan. All right, how are we going to get our quarterback some time, you know, get these balls off? So, you know, credit to them. They definitely came in with a great game plan. But also the offensive line for Indiana played a great game. I mean, we're talking 3 sacks total, and 2 of them were to DBs, and one of them, you know, came free. So, I mean, outside of Denai's game-sealing sack at the end, they really didn't do too much. And Indiana normally, I mean, we normally get 6-7 sacks. I think a couple years ago we might have 7-8 sacks against them. So that's, you know, we're used to generating a ton of pressure and getting a lot of sacks on the quarterback. So I definitely think that's part of the reason that, and I know we'll get to it, but part of the reason that Indiana was able to put some of these drives together and just be a little bit more impressive offensively than we thought, because their offensive line really did do a great job and they had a great game plan coming into this game.
Yeah, and you do have to give some credit to that quarterback. I'm just looking at some of the stats. Obviously, the numbers were inflated by those two big plays, obviously, but he threw for 269 yards, 13 of 19. He showed himself very well in this game.
Oh, he absolutely did. He's a young dude, and he's definitely impressive. He has a great arm. And, you know, I think that Jalen Reed pick was huge that we haven't talked about yet. I mean, if they go down and score a touchdown there, it could have went a little south very quickly. You know, that's thankfully, you know, like I said, a young Sorsby, a young quarterback, rolling to this left and threw across his body back into the middle. Didn't even see. And Jalen Reed wasn't even his man. He made a great play, come off and saw it, read his eyes, took it right out of the air. And that was, honestly, I think that was one of the bigger plays of the game outside of the long touchdown pass at the end, because that completely changed the tide of the game and kind of gave Penn State that confidence again. Okay, let's go down and get some points on the board. And, you know, you look, we have the most points off of turnovers in all of college football. So, you know, you can see we kind of rely on our defense to give us that spark throughout the game. And we finally got it. And that was big time from Jalen Reed.
You make a great point. And because of the heroics at the end of the game, I think that play gets forgotten, unfortunately. And it is one of those things where it looked like a very good game plan for Indiana. Like you said, they rolled him out to get him some time, buy him time and availability. He was making safe passes. He was making some very accurate passes. And that was a play, as you said, rolling left, throwing back. You didn't even have to wait for the end result. You're already, if you're an Indiana fan, you had to be covering your eyes when he released the ball. No other way to put that. I know in the press box, you could just kind of, as he's doing it and releasing the ball, there's kind of like a, uh-oh, something's going to happen here. And it obviously did. So to the benefit of Penn State, and as you said, kind of changed the whole tone of the game right there. All right, Landon, that is it for quarter number two. Let's get to the second half of that game and things that happened there. We'll do that right after this break.
Hey guys, this is Andrew from 409 Tailgate Club, here to talk to you about our new coffee barbecue dry rub set. Over the years, we've developed some great tailgate sauces and barbecue dry rubs, but our new coffee rubs are totally unique spice blends, low in sodium, and feature Happy Valley's finest coffee, W.C. Clark's, roasted right in the cheese shop in downtown State College. So head on over to 409tailgateclub.com, grab yourself some coffee rubs, and remember, always tailgate with honor. We are.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It is quarter number three. I'm Jim Galante. We are talking to Landon Tengwall. Landon, this is your first time going more than just two quarters on the show. How you holding up? Still got that stamina for the second half?
Man, I might need a halftime break. We didn't even get one.
Well, we did strategize a little bit.
We did. I need some orange slices or something, Jim. Come on.
This isn't midget football. Is this where one of the moms is supposed to bring out the oranges?
Maybe. A couple bags of chips, too.
Maybe next. It reminds me when I was a kid. This wasn't high school basketball, but like a amateur league during the summers, we would drink Mountain Dews at halftime. That was
hey, that's better than the NBA players back in the 70s, man. They having beers at halftime.
Yeah, that's true. Or Major League Baseball when they'd run into the clubhouse for a smoke. So
yeah, exactly.
Anyway, as an old New York Mets fan, that's what they were doing in the 80s. All right, let's get back to football and Penn State, Indiana. Want to talk the second half a little bit. Talking about the defense here, I mentioned there were the couple big plays, and we talked about those in the first half. But the second half, where there were back-to-back, I think it was 12-play drive and 14-play, then 12-play drive. Fortunately, the 14-play drive ended with a missed field goal. In between those two was a three-and-out by Penn State. So, in other words, Indiana had 26 out of 29 plays from scrimmage. I would think Manny Diaz would be more upset about that than the two big plays. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say so. I mean, those are hard. And, you know, you come off earlier against those two big plays, and then you come back, and then the offense is driving on you, putting together these, you know, hitting receivers short, letting them make plays. They were gashing us a little bit in the run, putting together some good runs, breaking tackles, just keeping their legs churning. But I definitely would say that made Manny Diaz a little bit – a little bit unpleasant this morning watching those drives as well on top of those plays that they gave up. But you know, it's hard as a defense, especially like you mentioned with that three and out in between. And it's a bad feeling as an offensive player. You know, they put together a long drive and you see that and they get off the field and then you come back and you give them three plays and you're walking to the sideline and you're saying, hey, you guys got to go back out there. I'm sorry. We just took 30 seconds off the clock and you got to go back out there. It's not a good feeling for a defense at all. And it's like, man, we can't catch a break. So, and you know, the guys get tired. You got to start to rotate guys out with those, you know, like you said, 13, 15 play drives. You know, thankfully, like you said, that first one ended in a missed field goal. But that's hard on a defense, especially a defense that probably had its worst game of the season, especially, you know, in the first half. It's hard. But thankfully, we had a couple guys come through, like we mentioned, Jalen Reed with that pick. Definitely big time.
I always talk about this in games. My buddy and colleague, Andy Shea, he and I text during games all the time. And prior to halftime, he said, all right, what do you think we're going to see in this second half? And I was like, I think it all depends on this first possession. Penn State got the kickoff after finishing the first half with a field goal. I think that always feels good. You score to end the half, then you get the kickoff in the second half. I felt like Andy marched down the field, score a touchdown, the game's over, momentum will shift. That's what's going to happen. And it was the exact opposite. Shows you I don't really know what I'm talking about. But when you have the offense, you come out, march down the field. As a team, you got to take that deep breath, feel like, okay, finally. You know, we're beginning to separate ourselves. I think that made it a two-score a game. And then that just completely flips the script when Indiana has that long drive, even though it ends with a missed field goal.
Yeah, no doubt. And one thing that Coach Franklin stresses, and a lot of coaches around college football, is that middle eight. So that's the only time you have the possibility to get the score and get the ball back right away. Those last 4 minutes of the second quarter and those first 4 minutes of the third quarter are really important. And especially when you get that last score and then you get to come out, like you said, and get that ball. You know, there were some fans that were thinking, all right, we come out here and get seven, we could turn this into a blowout. And then no one's even talking about how it was close or those two plays that broke down. They're talking about Penn State and how many points they put up. And like you said, obviously it did not go that way. I mean, a couple three and outs, it can demoralize the offense really quickly, especially when you come out with a game plan. You already had a game plan that you thought was going to work. You go in at halftime, try to shore it up, come out with something, and that doesn't work. It starts to get a little demoralizing, and it hurts the offense's chemistry and rhythm to get going.
You know, Landon, I want to give us enough time to really go through that end-of-game sequence. So I'm going to jump around to James Franklin's post-game press conference. And you and I were talking about this off-air, and I wanted to bring it up because our listeners know it's one of my favorite topics. But with the offense, and this ties into, I believe, how the running backs are performing. I think it ties into some of these three and outs. Is James Franklin was asked about Drew running the ball more. And the question, I believe, was in the context of the pocket breaks down. He tucks it, runs, and he did some of that successfully. But James kind of transformed it into a conversation about the read option. And Drew actually pulling the ball out and running the ball, or he even mentioned passing the ball, and he tied it into Bo Prabula's success late in the game and in pulling it and running it, which also opens up things for the running back, where some of the holes that Trey Potts has been getting late in the game has been because Bo is a threat to run the ball. Now, you and I talked about this exact thing last week, and trust me, I've been saying it since the beginning of the season. I just want to get your comment on that, and I guess my bottom line question is, should this not have been a conversation from like week one or week two all the way through as opposed to after game seven or eight here? Mm.
Jim, I know you're passionate about that, about the quarterbacks pulling it, man. You, you want it bad. You want it bad.
Yes, I do.
But no, I absolutely. And I mean, it's like you said, it's a little different when you have a guy like Drew, who's obviously a pocket passer, a big quarterback. And you mentioned he has the ability to hand it off, take it himself, or as Coach Franklin also mentioned, pass it. That's called a TTO, a triple throw option. So you can have the, so you're looking at the wide receiver. And one thing that also does is when you're looking at the wide receiver and the cornerback and the safety, they know that you have the ability to then throw it to the wide receiver. Well, it keeps them out. It keeps them out on the boundary near the wide receiver because they can't crash in as early and come make that play, because you can throw it all the way into the line of scrimmage. So, I mean, you're pulling it 5 yards back from the line of scrimmage and the quarterback starts to run. Well, he has 5 yards before he can either throw it straight down the line to his wide receiver that's on the sideline, or he can take off. So it makes those safeties and cornerbacks play a little bit more honest. And when you see a guy like you mentioned with Bo, who's a little bit more of a threat with his legs, it, everybody has to play honest and everybody has to play their true responsibilities. When you got a guy like Drew, well, you guys on defense can make up for a little bit more because Drew's not as fast. Although we did see him put his shoulder down a couple times into guys, and that's not fun. 6'5", you know, 250, right into the shoulder. That's not something a DB wants to see. And I told Drew, I said, if you take off a little bit more, you know, I mentioned Lamar Alar. That's what Coach Franklin likes to call him. So maybe we'll see a little bit more of that. But I told him if he was running the rock, I'd give him a shout out, and he put his shoulder down into a couple people. So I got to drop his name.
You're right there. And I got to think too, as you said, he's like almost 250. Other than the defensive tackles, I'm not sure there's a defensive player that's bigger than him. So especially if the linebackers aren't as big as him, the DBs definitely aren't. And if 250 is coming at me hard, I'm going to think twice as a DB.
100%. And, you know, obviously that's a matchup you want to take, but at the same time, that is your quarterback. That's your franchise guy. That's the guy you're sticking with. And you don't want him to take, I think that's part of it. You don't want him to be taking too many hits, too many licks on those, especially on those shoulders, head area. So you do want to be careful with that. But like you said, I mean, hopefully for your sake, Jim, we see a little bit more of him pulling it. We know it'll make Jim Galante happy. So that's all that matters.
Exactly. That's what's important. What are you doing to make Jim happy? Anyway, and again, I want to spend the whole fourth quarter going over the last sequence of play. So I'm hitting James's press conference. What I thought intriguing also, there was, again, there's always going to be questions about throwing the ball deep. And maybe you could help us fans out here, Landon. James talked about there being multiple plays that maybe 8 to 10 times a game, there's the call with a receiver going deep. Now, could you explain to us what that means as far as, okay, we called the play, so that's the target, it's going to be deep. Or that's just one of the targets, and yeah, Drew could go wherever he wants based on who's open, or is it a check down? How does that work?
Yeah, so it starts off with the quarterback's read, so he's going to have his receivers, and he knows in his head for each play where he's looking first, where he's looking second. Okay, that's not open. Now I'm looking third. And a lot of times those deep, you know, someone running a go route is really just a clear out route and not really something you're looking at. Now, it depends what coverage you get. Let's say, for example, you have Keandre Lambert-Smith in, you know, tight man-to-man coverage. Well, that's a shot you might want to take. But, you know, it's one of those things that's completely the quarterback's progression. And a lot of times we have a lot of guys that do get open underneath. And if Drew sees that, that's his first or second progression. And let's say the post or the fade, whatever it may be, is his third or fourth progression, then he sees his first, second open. Well, he's going to take that every time. I think that's a lot why we've seen him. You know, and wants to be a little conservative too. I think that's why we've seen him go short a lot. And he just wants to keep the drives going, protect the football. I mean, that's the number one thing that's put up on the board every day in all offensive meetings, but especially here at Penn State is protect that football. And that's one thing that he has done a great job of up to this point. But, you know, there are times where you're looking for that deep shot, but a lot of times since it's such a long developing route, it's not your first or second, you know, look as a quarterback. So it's just, you tend not to throw them as deep, but thankfully we saw him targeted a couple times and then finally at the end there got it home.
Yes, it definitely, thank goodness for that one. And it also hits to what we talked about earlier. There were a couple, deep throws just to show that he's willing to do it. The defense has to adjust to that. And it does seem you were talking about going through his progressions, where early in the season, it looked like West Virginia, for example, there were games that seemed like 1, 2, 3, and that third third look wasn't necessarily just the check down to the running back. It was Trey Wallace 15 or 20 yards down the field is the third look in the progression. So some of this going downfield isn't just, you know, throwing deep. To me, it's like, okay, how about that intermediate pass or intermediate deep pass? Anyway, I wanted to save the fourth quarter to go through the fourth quarter of the game, Landon, because so much happened. Let's hit that right after this break.
Hey guys, this is Andrew from 409 Tailgate Club, here to talk to you about our new coffee barbecue dry rub set. Over the years, we've developed some great tailgate sauces and barbecue dry rubs, but our new coffee rubs are totally unique spice blends, low in sodium, and feature Happy Valley's finest coffee, W.C. Clark's, roasted right in the cheese shop in downtown State College. So head on over to 409tailgateclub.com, grab yourself some coffee rubs, and remember, always tailgate with honor. We are.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
And we're back for quarter number four of the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante, along with Landon Tengwall, who is showing the stamina to make it through an entire show. You ready for that fourth quarter push? Put up the four fingers. Ready for quarter number four?
Let's do it. Put them up. Let's go, Jim.
Very good. All right. Let's go through that last sequence of this game. For a game that was supposed to be a blowout and fans could head out the doors by the end of the third quarter, it had a lot of excitement at the finish. And we talked about, you brought this up last week. To your credit, you brought this up last week, that maybe Drew just needs to get that first interception out of the way. Landon, I don't think you had in mind him doing it the last couple minutes of a one-score game.
Definitely not. I sent a text out to somebody. I said, I just said that last week, that he needs to get it out of the way. I was thinking maybe the first quarter of the game, then come back. Yeah, maybe not late in the fourth quarter in a one-possession game, but it all worked out. So that's the good news. He bounced back, and that's one thing that I said that I knew about Drew, that he's not going to get rattled. He's not the type of guy that's going to get just going to implode off of a turnover. And that's why I was kind of, when it happened, it was like, oh man, this isn't, you know, especially with the opportunity for them to go drive and get a touchdown. Thankfully they didn't, but you know, I really didn't have any too much worries about how he was going to bounce back. He's the type of guy to rally the offense, bring them around, say my bad, and let's go get this thing.
Well, and just like we talked about the Indiana interception, where it probably wasn't a smart pass on Drew's part, but it happened. He was off balance, thrown across his body, all of those things. But what it then led to was Indiana getting the possession. They're down three with about 4 minutes to go, I believe, at the time. And they had an opportunity. They're deep into Penn State's territory. When they got the ball, they were already in field goal territory. And Landon, run, kick a field goal. And it was very conservative. And it wasn't like, okay, it was third and one. It was third and long. Three very short runs. They played for a field goal. I do not understand that at all.
Yeah, I don't get it either. And I think if you're an Indiana fan today, you're a little bit annoyed at that decision there. You know, you're on the road against a very good ranked team. You got two wins. You know, you don't even know if you're going to see a bowl game this season. Forget everything else. You're going for the win against Penn State. I mean, that would be the biggest win of their season of the past couple of years. You got to go for that. You got to pull out all the stops. I think Tom Allen and Indiana were a little nervous that maybe Penn State could create a turnover. I mean, obviously, we know we are one of the better defenses in all of college football at doing that. I think they were a little worried about the pass rush coming, bringing that 7-up look. And like I said, that really confused an offense. And that's an easy way to create a turnover. So, you know, I maybe understand running it, maybe first down, maybe second down. But that third and long run, I think you got to go for it there as an underdog at Penn State. You got to try to take the air out of the stadium there.
Well, and I would even, and maybe this is why I'm not a college coach, Landon, but you made fun of me earlier about, okay, this is what Jim's passionate about, you know, Drew Aller pulling it. Let me give you the other thing that I'm passionate about, okay? And I know our listeners are tired of hearing this, but maybe this is the first or maybe second or third time you've heard this. pass the ball on first down. That's the easiest time to throw the ball. If I'm Indiana, I have a chance here. I'm running play action pass on first down. I'm throwing it into the end zone. I'm saying to big bad Penn State, take that. I've got a chance to win a game. I go for it.
Look, I hear you, Jim, and you're making your case for offensive coordinator here. I'll tell you what. No, I totally agree, though. I think you got to be aggressive there, like you said, and just go for it. I think three passes right there is completely reasonable. If nothing happens, if your quarterback throws a pick, whatever, you tried your hardest, you went for it. But I do think just going for the tie and giving the ball back to the Penn State offense, you know, wasn't the greatest idea for Tom Allen in Indiana. I guess they just had faith in their defense. And, you know, Drew Aller came out and said, you know, I got something for you. And they dialed it up.
Yeah, he said, no, sir. And let's now shift gears. Penn State gets the ball back. It's now a tie game. Drew is coming off the interception. And what I think gets forgotten, Landon, is first there were two, maybe not quite chunk plays, but there were two 10-yard gains to Catron Allen, one with him running, then he catches a pass. So you get back-to-back first downs. I'm thinking, okay, you still have plenty of time. We're going to march it down the field. Then we have the long pass to Keandre Lambert-Smith for the go-ahead touchdown. And especially in watching the replay, it looked like Drew was looking that way the whole way.
100%. And that's one thing. I don't think Indiana was expecting that at all. You know, they saw it once earlier in the game, but in that type of situation, especially when you already get two first downs and you're moving it through your running back, that's kind of the last thing you're expecting. As shown by the defense, they decide to run and be a little bit more aggressive. They brought some guys up, brought some people in the box to maybe create a punt there and get the ball back. And they were a little too aggressive. And clearly Drew saw that, and he picked his target, and he knew he was going there the whole time. And when you got a playmaker like Keandre, you got to let him go up and make a play. We saw that a couple of times, let Theo Johnson go up and make a play in the end zone. When you have guys and you're playing a team that you're better than, you got to let your playmakers go up and make a play happen. And you know, that's what we saw happen there, and I'm happy it came when it came. And I guess we're all thankful for that pick. Got Drew Aller going, and now we're cruising.
And forever you could say you called it last week.
I can.
And it was a beautiful pass. Everybody did their job. He had time. Lambert-Smith beat his man. Drew put it right there. So now still – and again, someone at the game in the press box, oh, they gave Indiana too much time on the clock to react to it. I'm like, oh, good Lord. You know, how could you react that way? Talk about, you know, the glass half empty. But then it's now on the defense to make a play. And just as big, tell me about that play Deny Dennis Sutton made.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's one thing we haven't seen yet this season is Beaver Stadium really needing to be a factor, the noise needing to be a factor. There hasn't really been a moment in Beaver where we have needed them to come through and kind of disrupt an offense. And so the stadium got loud. We got over 100K screaming. Well, it gets harder for that offense to hear, that offensive line, to get off the ball and hear that snap and hear that clap, whatever the quarterback's cadence is. Well, he just got off a touch. The left tackle got off a touch too late. And Deny he's an athletic, has a really quick get off, and he just got right around him. That tackle wasn't able to hear the snap count, and he just got beat right off the ball. And Deny, he's going to finish that every time. I mean, he's a big, strong dude. And then it was a comedy of errors trying to handle that football. I'll tell you what, if that was earlier in the game, I think fans might have imploded at that one. I mean, it was a couple guys had a shot at a touchdown. It was like the ball head was in the mud, all slippery. I'll tell you what. But that was a big time play by Deny. I think somewhat, you know, he's made some big time plays, but that's up there for his young career so far. And I think we're just going to continue to see that between Adisa, Isaac, Deny, Dennis Sutton, and Chop Robinson when he comes back. I mean, we have a stable of DNs that's really impressive. That's going to help us out down the stretch.
That felt like one of those career-defining moments there for Dennis Sutton. And then you brought it up. It was almost as if it was going on in slow motion as Akeem Beeman's trying to pick that ball up. Now, here's what I need from you. describe to me the next day when everyone shows up, what is that conversation like with Akeem Beamon?
It's, man, I could have had that. It's a lot of regret. I'll tell you what, if I would have just slowed down for a second and just picked it up, because you're so excited. You see that ball laying there and you see nothing but green grass in front of you. You just can't wait to get your hands on the ball. And then you just kick it and then you get hit a little bit and it just flies. And it's a sad feeling, but you know, thankfully in that situation, either way, the safety or the touchdown helped and pretty much sealed the deal for the game. But it was that's something you regret looking back as Akeem Beamon.
How will his teammates talk to him about it?
Oh, you get ragged on a little bit for that one. Maybe you have to do a couple extra ball security drills. You gotta dive down and grab it. A couple extra scoops. I mean, I'm serious. I think I wouldn't be surprised on Tuesday if Manny Diaz comes out with a couple scoop and score drills, something just to practice getting that ball up off the ground.
Oh, wow. I think that play was going in slow motion for everybody in the stadium, except for Akeem Beamon, where it was probably just all going way too fast.
Yeah, he was sped up, that's for sure.
Yes. All right, in the last couple minutes we have, let's now look forward. It's Maryland next week. It's Maryland on the road. And even though Maryland lost to Northwestern, you got to look at this as a dangerous Maryland team. They've got the quarterback. Drew Aller has struggled on the road every time. So what's his preparation going to be like?
Yeah, I don't think you take this game lightly at all. I think this is probably the third best team you see on your schedule. Like you said, it imploded a little bit to Northwestern, but Maryland's a really good team. You know, Tulia Tagovailoa has been dealing just like his brother has been all year. I mean, he's been really impressive, and they got some playmakers at Maryland. As Penn State fans know, it's kind of a rivalry game. You know, we're unrivaled, but Maryland, there's some bad blood between Maryland and Penn State. So, you know, I think you go in there, and I think the game plan is obviously, hopefully we execute a little bit more, but I think the game plan is similar. You try to manage the game. You try to get your running backs a lot of carries. Hope to see Nick and Katron probably both around 15, hopefully a little bit more. Get those tight ends involved. Rely on that, especially early on the road. And just try to get that offense going against Maryland.
Yeah, and we talk about this quick start issue, which it's been happening, even it feels like for a couple of years, but definitely this season. What can the team do to avoid those slow starts?
Yeah, I mean that really just goes back to just being fired up, being ready to go for the game. I mean, coming out with a good script, like we talked about. You have those first couple plays scripted, ready to go. And that's just coming out ready to execute. It's hard sometimes to get going. And like you said, we've seen that for a while with Penn State. I mean, if you look back all the way to 2016, when we won, it's been like that for a while, where the kind of always struggle a little bit in the first half and then get going. So, you know, really, really look to maybe take a deep shot early on, get that going. You know, you stretch that defense and worry them early, then, you know, you can open some things up, come back to it later. But hopefully come out, establish the run. You start breaking off. You put together a long drive with 8-10-yard runs. Katron Allen, Nick Singleton, get them going. I think it could be a really good day for us.
I hope so too, Landon. And hopefully they'll take a lead from your performance today. You went 4 strong quarters. You were good right out of the box to start, and you finished strong. So thanks very much, Landon, and thank you all for listening. Make sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Hey guys, this is Andrew from 409 Tailgate Club, here to talk to you about our new coffee barbecue dry rub set. Over the years, we've developed some great tailgate sauces and barbecue dry rubs, but our new coffee rubs are totally unique spice blends, low in sodium, and feature Happy Valley's finest coffee, W.C. Clark's, roasted right in the cheese shop in downtown State College. So head on over to 409tailgateclub.com, grab yourself some coffee rubs, and remember, always tailgate with honor. We are